There was a point in the early 60s where he realized that he had a responsibility not just to contemplate the meaning of his life by himself in solitude. So he knew that part of his responsibility was to enter into the world and to deal with some of the issues that he felt affected everybody. And he talked about realizing that we're all unified. It's a unified world, and he had a responsibility to bring what he thought was the message of love to a world that really was very violent. He was against the Vietnam War. He wrote stridently about Hiroshima, the bombing of Hiroshima, and about the Holocaust. And he was just very, very interested in social justice issues and made that a part of his role.
How widely known is Thomas Merton's poetry? I know his spiritual reflections, The Seven-Story Mountain, and so forth, are very well known and widely read. What about the poetry?
I don't think it's as well known, but there are many, many scholars who are working on it, have worked on it. And one of those scholars, George Kilcourse, at Bellarmine University, suggested to me years ago that I get into Merton through the poetry. And it's very, very interesting because you see the many sides of Merton, including the literary man, the man of letters. He was as interested in writing poetry, had been since he was a boy, as anything else he did.
How would you describe the style of Thomas Merton's poetry? I assume, you know, it's not Shakespearean sonnets, it's not Moonspoon June rhyming. Is there a specific genre or style you would put it into?
That's something I've been thinking a lot about in my study of Merton's poetry. What I'm discovering is that he was living in the modern period. Ezra Pound had told us all to make it new, and he was paying attention. So his poetry is, it really follows the rules that Pound laid out in the Imagist movement. It's very imagaic. It's unrhymed. He uses the cadences of speech. But what's really, really fascinating is that I can see the influence of almost everybody who was important as a writer during the period in which he wrote. So I can see William Carlos Williams, and I can see T.S. Eliot. I can see Pound himself. I can see William Faulkner. He seemed to just absorb the writers that he was reading and discussing. He had many, many literary conversations with writers of the day. And so I see all of those influences, including the influence of, well, this may be his original contribution. I see him as a very early postmodern poet, using material that isn't normally thought of as poetic. He uses documentaries and collaged them to express certain themes. And that's something that is considered beyond the modern period.
Can you give examples of the poetry of Thomas Merton? Or even do you even have samples that you could share with us?
Sure. He probably one of the most well-known poems that he wrote that was written in the 40s, probably about 1943, is an elegy for his brother who was shot. He wasn't shot down, but his bomber aircraft malfunctioned, and he crashed into the English Channel and died of a broken back before help could come. And the others on the plane were saved. So for a while, Merton didn't know what had happened to his brother. He had gotten word that his brother was missing in action. So he wrote a poem called For My Brother Reported Missing in Action, 1943. I could read just parts of it if you want.
That would be great. Wonderful. Okay.
Sweet brother, I do not sleep. My eyes are flowers for your tomb. And if I cannot eat my bread, my fast shall live like willows where you died. If in the heat I find no water for my thirst shall turn to springs for you, poor traveler. Where in that desolate and smoky country lies your poor body lost and dead? And in what landscape of disaster has your unhappy spirit lost its road? Come, in my labor, find a resting place, and in my sorrows lay your head. Or rather take my life and blood and buy yourself a better bed, or take my breath and take my death and buy yourself a better rest. When all the men of war are shot and flags have fallen into dust, your cross and mine shall tell men still, Christ died on each for both of us. For in the wreckage of your April, Christ lies slain, and Christ weeps in the ruins of my spring, the money of whose tears shall fall into your weak and friendless hand and buy you back to your own land, the silence of whose tears shall fall like bells upon your alien tomb. Hear them and come. They call you home.